Welcome back to the program. Of all the many problems with education today, its focus on what kids can't do, as opposed to what they do well, is simply misguided. It's particularly profound when it comes to children with special needs. If we need evidence of this, we need to look no further than the story of Christine Barnett and her son Jacob. At age 2, experts said he would never be able to tie his shoes. Today, at 14, he's pursuing a PhD in physics. Unfortunately, it takes a lot more than changing a system. It takes a mother deeply committed not only to her son, but to turning the old paradigms on their head and not caring whose proverbial apple cart she turns over. This story is detailed in a new book by Jacob's mother, Christine Barnett, and it is my pleasure to welcome her here today to talk about The Spark, A Mother's Story of Nurturing Genius. Christine, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Delight to have you here. When did you realize that Jacob was different?
Well, I guess that depends. It's been a long journey with Jacob. Early on in life, when I had Jacob, when he was a very young little boy, he was doing these amazing things. We were able to see some evidence of some prodigious talent that he actually displayed. As a little tiny boy, he was dumping out boxes of cereal all over my house, and I just thought, oh, I've got so much cereal to clean up. But, yeah, we were finding cereal in weird places, like the bathtub, the glove compartment to our car. It seemed like there was no box in the house that Jacob could leave, you know, alone. They were all upended, and what seemed to me to just be a mess turned out to be equations. He was actually, at the age of 1, he was calculating the volume of cereal boxes in our house. So he was quite precocious as a young boy.
And then once he started school, the picture that the schools painted, the pictures that educators painted, was somewhat different.
Well, yeah. Right around Jacob's 2nd birthday, he was diagnosed with moderate to severe autism. And all of these beautiful things that I saw him doing as a really tiny little boy, they sort of got put into the back of what we were focusing on with Jacob. He was surrounded by doctors and therapists and professionals and people who were just all trying to work on these lower skills and trying to bring them up. But the problem was nobody was focusing on what he was able to do. And at 3 years old, when he went into the school system, he was put in a special ed class. And one of the things that he loved as a little boy was to carry little alphabet cards around with him. He would hold them in his hands and he would stash them in his pockets. And the teacher, in an effort, I think, to try to make me realize what the program she was running was, and just so I wouldn't have my hopes in places that she thought they shouldn't be, she told me that the alphabet cards were not going to be necessary with Jacob. And, you know, very lovingly and very patiently, she explained to me that the special ed program he was in was focusing on things like trying to get him to tie his shoes, and maybe button coat, just feeding, lower skills like that, and they were hoping if they worked on that, by the time he was 16, he would gain some of those skills. So they pretty much took the alphabet cards right out of his hand and said, you know, we're not going to work on those with your son.
Talk about how you responded to that and what you thought might be a different path.
My response was not the typical response. I went in my son's room that night and I looked at him. He was in his little bed, you know, surrounded by all his little playthings on the floor. And there were those alphabet cards. He slept with them. I mean, he had them, he put his pajamas on and then reached right for those cards. And, I knew in my heart, I just knew with my mother instincts that what I was doing for him, what everybody thought was going to be helping him, was wrong. And so I had to completely buck the system, and the very next morning I did not put him back on the school bus and I did not send him back to special ed. And at that time everybody pretty much thought that I was nuts. You know, they thought I had lost my mind. This little boy needed so much work and so much therapy, and here I was taking him out of the program that was supposed to be helping him.
You even had resistance on the home front from Jacob's father.
Right. My husband, he has been the biggest support to me through raising Jacob, which you'll see in the book. So I love my husband very much. But going against what everybody else was doing, you know, especially the school system with our child, was not easy for him. He did not agree with me. And I am so thankful that he was able to eventually trust me, because if I hadn't made that decision, I truly believe that my son Jacob would not even be talking to this day.
Talk about what you did, where you decided you wanted to put your focus with Jacob.
You know what's so funny is I wrote this story about Jacob, and this is the part about halfway through the book where people realize, oh my gosh, this story is not just about this genius boy, this special ed boy, this mom. This book is about me. And the reason that people get to that point is because when we are told that our children can't do something, every single parent goes out and finds anything they can do. We find tutors, you know, even just if they're performing poorly in a math class, we'll go get a tutor, we'll get help. And there are tons of professionals out there to help you and tell you what to do in that case. But the one thing that they were not focusing on with Jacob, and the one thing that I believe we are doing to cheat our children, is we are not focusing on what they can do. So the minute I took my son out of special ed, the first thing I decided to do was just stop working on what he couldn't do. I just said, I'm done. I'm not going to work anymore on what is challenging you. I'm going to work on the things you love. Now, at the time, that was really, really hard to find in Jacob. I mean, this was a severely autistic child. He wasn't talking. He wasn't looking at me. He wasn't hugging me. Like I said, there was no hope that he was going to do any of the things he'd done. People didn't even think he would talk. So it was very hard to find something he loved, but I knew he loved looking at the stars. And so I took him out at night, and we kicked the shoes off, and we got in the green grass, and we laid down and looked at the stars, and I turned the fog lights on in my car. I played jazz music, and just we would dance. And I just got back to things that he loved, things that he could do, and boy, did I have no idea where that was going to take us in life.
And where did it take you?
Well, pretty rapidly, my son actually started talking to me again. And that was the discovery that we made, was that by focusing on the things that children love and the things that Jacob loved in particular, the lower skills, the things that you're trying so hard to work on, they just kind of come along. So instead of doing all of this therapy and drills, we were playing. You know, we were in the backyard building sandcastles. We were looking at the stars. And before I knew it, he was talking again. He was reading about the stars. He took that childhood interest that was innate to him, and he started building on it. And at about 3 years old, we attended a lecture at a local planetarium, and Jacob somehow knew the answer to a question that a professor had asked about the gravity of the planet Mars and the moons around them, and why the moons around Mars were shaped kind of like potatoes instead of round. Somehow this 3-year-old boy startled all of us by understanding the effects of gravity and distance and things that just boggled all of our minds.
When you took these steps, when you decided to take him out of the special ed class, put the therapy aside, and pursue this path that you were on, talk a little bit about the outside pushback that came to you from the schools, from the teachers, from everybody else. What did they tell you?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it was the hardest decision I've ever made in my life to take Jacob out of special ed. Every professional thought, you know, oh, you know, we have resources. You're going to miss your resources. But I knew the resources they were providing were only going to be working on things that discouraged him, like putting a ball in a cup. And I had seen him at a therapy table many, many days, just kind of zoned out. And he had lost his passion for everything, especially learning. He had just lost the passion. He was bored. He was just working on stuff that was challenging to him. And yeah, the principal talked to me, the therapist talked to me, everybody was like, wait, you need to come back, you need to get these resources, we've got to work on these lower things. So yeah, they were very surprised and not at all supportive of me making these decisions. I knew in my heart that Jacob was not missing, that he was in there, that there was a passion for learning somewhere in there, and I was going to find it.
Once you started to have some success, talk a little bit about how other people viewed that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of therapists and even world experts at this point in autism that are just mind-boggled with what has become of Jacob. I mean, people have described it as a miracle. He was the biggest underdog that there ever was, and he has just risen to this level of amazing potential that nobody could have possibly perceived. I mean, people just can't even believe that he's accomplished what he has.
What do you think would have happened if he had stayed on the traditional path, if he had gone to therapy, if you had taken him every day and stayed in those special ed classes? What do you think would have happened?
Well, I think he would have become frustrated. I think he would have started to throw tantrums. I think he would have started to get very upset. And I think it's just common sense that if you're working on something that's difficult for you all day, that it will be frustrating. It won't be motivating. So I do not think that Jacob would be talking to us. In fact, Jacob has told me, without the stars, Mom, without math and physics, I would not have any reason to talk to you. He'd still be lost.
Explain a little bit how his interests started to build on themselves. I mean, first it was the stars, and that led to other things, and then it was the fascination with light and shadows. Talk about how one thing led to another with him.
Once we found out that this was this interest of his, it was just like kicking a snowball down a hill. The passion in him started to build and build and build. And before you know it, he had gone from that little planetarium near our home, which had a small lecture before it, to attending college classes on astronomy at 8 years old. And then from taking those classes to asking provoking questions and wanting to take the final, getting A's on the final, he got accepted to IUPUI, Purdue University, here in Indianapolis at 9 years old into a physics program. And then he created his own research at about 10 years old, and he was published for that research. He became the world's youngest astrophysics researcher. So he's just, the momentum just kept building and building and building, and there's just no way anybody, including myself, could have ever expected him to be who he is today.
And those teachers, those people that said no at the beginning, how did they respond to where Jacob is today?
With shock, really just pure shock. People were wondering, what is this that you're doing? How are you doing this? And what's going on? They couldn't even believe that he was the same little boy that they had seen before. And what's startling is what I did for Jacob. I also had this little daycare at the time, and I was also doing for the typical kids in my daycare. And I truly believe that what worked for him, what saved my son, will work for every single child, every child. I believe that there is more genius than we think. And I think that the way that we're approaching education, the way that we're trying to approach our children when they come up against difficulties, by focusing on them and what their not what their natural spark is, we are unwittingly tamping down genius in our children. And I believe that the potential that we have within our children is so great that it will startle us for every child. If we can just figure out what their spark is and follow it, we will be seeing miracles happen all around us. It won't just be like my story is this unique, isolated story. This will be happening in homerooms all across America.
Do you think that Jacob's spark was unique, or do you think that other kids, that there's a certain universality to that kind of spark, to that kind of interest in whatever it might be?
Well, what's surprising is what I had to do to find my son, I had to do because he was facing these obstacles. He was facing this diagnosis of autism that was terrifying. But children across America who are not facing so many obstacles, the thing that scares me is that we might become complacent. You know, you have a healthy child, you're raising a healthy child, and you could miss this in them. You could miss their spark. And I look around and I don't see the passion that there needs to be in education for our children. And it makes me very sad because in my little world, the children that I've worked with, the children that have been in my daycare, hundreds of children in my charity, all of these children, special needs or not, have all gone beyond any expectation we could possibly have for them, because the key is it's all about igniting this spark that's within them already. They have it as babies. They have it as toddlers. It's the need to explore. It's the kid who takes apart the back of the television set with a screwdriver, and he could become an engineer. It's the little boy who's building bridges across the table and across his cereal bowl instead of, you know, focusing on whatever his parents are talking about at the breakfast table. These things, these stories that children tell that are remarkable and full of imagination, these are these talents that our children have, and what we do is we extinguish them. We make learning boring. And the book is really about finding this, bringing it back to your child, and then watching what happens.
To what extent is Jacob at this point kind of self-perpetuating? I mean, do you still have to work with him? Does he still have to stay focused on what that spark and what those interests are? Or is he pretty much handling it himself at this point?
Oh, he's just going. I mean, what's so funny is people ask me that. You know, I have a genius for a son. I have a son who's accomplished these incredible things, and they say, what did you do? You know, how did you teach him? And I say, I didn't. I let him. All I did was follow him. And that's all I've been doing over these years, and it's worked. It's been a recipe that's worked not just for him, but for many, many, many children. I have children who I've worked with who have built computers in garages when they were, you know, before they were in high school, and children who are doing architecture internships in England. And I am seeing these children do these remarkable things around me all of the time on their own. They're driven to do it on their own because it's something that is innate to them, something that they've loved, something that they've loved in childhood, and it's beautiful to see children want to learn. And that's what we all as parents want, is to see children want to learn. And so you don't have to be out there, you know, I'm certainly not the tiger mom. I'm not out there with a notebook and a pencil and saying, now work on this. I am just following my child. I'm putting him in real-life experiences that he enjoys and that are igniting this passion in him.
Do you think that he was born with that passion or that it came some other way?
Certainly, I think Jacob is a prodigy. I do think he, you know, I recognize that he has a high IQ, but I think that it was the choices that I made as a mom that brought out this hunger for knowledge and learning. And I think that he is not unique in the ability to find that in himself. And I have just seen, I've worked with so many kids over and over and over again and seen the same results. Not necessarily prodigious results, but just results that would blow anyone's mind, the things that these kids are capable of doing. When you love what you're doing, then what you're doing becomes beautiful.
Talk a little bit about what Jacob is doing today, the program that he's in.
Well, my goodness, I don't even know if I can describe what he's doing. It's so complicated. He does chaotic laser physics research. He does, he would be so embarrassed if I don't get this right. It's, it has to do with quantum computation, and I really haven't even been able to keep up with this boy. but he researches in three different areas. One of the areas is hyperbolic geometry. They're just highly technical, complicated physics, understanding of time and space and redefining laws of physics. It's amazing. The thing that I'm most proud of about my son, the accomplishment that I'm most proud of, is last year he was able to go to New York and he gave a TED Talk. And this little boy who was not supposed to ever talk, was not supposed to ever look at me, the little boy who had the alphabets taken away, went on a stage in New York on Broadway and spoke in front of about 700 or 800 people and talked to them about his passion for learning. And that was a wonderful accomplishment for me to see as a mom, just to see him not only overcoming, but just outdistancing any expectation that anybody had.
Christine Barnett, the book is The Spark, A Mother's Story of Nurturing Genius. Christine, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on. It is so important for our children, and that is the reason that I wrote the book. Not for my child, not for Jacob, but for every child.
Christine Barnett, I thank you so much. We'll take a break. I'll be right back.